Welcome, everybody, and nice to meet to spend time with you today. My name is Ron Vacris, and I'm the CEO of Costco Wholesale. My story is a great example of the culture in our company. I started with Costco in 1982, really the company called Price Club that many of you may not even be aware of. That was the original founder in the warehouse club industry. And I started when I was going to school in Phoenix, Arizona, as a seasonal job. I was unloading trucks and driving a forklift at the time. And so, working there, I really enjoyed the culture of the company. And it was a great organization. And albeit we were very small at the time, I was like, wow, this is a great place. So I'm going to stay around and continue to work here. I had no intentions of being in retail. And, I had no intentions of staying with this organization. Here I sit 42 years later, with the opportunity to talk to all of you. But as I speak about the culture of the company, this company has been built on growing people from inside and promoting within. And I'm not that unique of a story in the company. Most of the executive vice presidents that work with me have all started an hourly position somewhere in the organization and worked their way through the company over the years. So, it's a culture of inclusiveness, a culture of opportunities for all employees. And I'm just another example of the great things that this company has done over the years.
That is great. Do you mind if we just jump straight into some student questions?
That'd be great.
Okay, I got one emailed me and emailed to me, and this came from Cuba. The kid wanted to know, having started in warehouse operations, what were some of the most valuable lessons that you learned early on in your career?
I think that the biggest turning point for me in my career is when I had my entry-level management position. And when you start managing people, it's something none of us are born with leadership skills, and we're not born with management skills. The question now becomes, how do your work is all about not what you're doing as much as what everybody that works with you is doing. So when I hit this epiphany in my career managing others, saying it's no longer about me, it's really about the people that work with me. And I put my attention on making them successful. That's when things really started taking off for me. And my goal was always to surround myself with the best people I could find in the organization and build teams that could be very successful overall. So I think that that was the biggest learning thing I had in the operations side, was really the importance of management and leadership and how important it was to be there and to be a teacher and to develop your people around you.
Very good. We got a question from Javier. Javier is in Spain. Javier, you had an awesome question. Go ahead and unmute to ask.
My question is, what has it been your biggest achievement at Costco, like your company, the company you work at?
Oh, for myself, my biggest or the company's overall?
Your biggest achievement in your role, in your position?
I that's a great question, Javier. That really is, you think back over 42 years of, I think that the biggest achievement is that we have been able to innovate the company for 42 years, right? Continue to change and be very reflective of what our customers need, but never lose focus of who we stand for and what we stand for as an organization. So it's very important that as you grow any company or any business, that you got to stay true to who you are and make sure you do that the right way. So we've always put a gigantic focus on our people and our members, and first and foremost, obeying the law and always doing the right thing as an organization, but maintaining our reputation through all the things that have happened over the past 42 years has been, I think, our greatest accomplishment.
That's great. And I love your store personally. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's my favorite. Whenever I ask my son, where do you want to go to dinner? He actually says, can we go eat at Costco? So like once in a while. We have Valentine from France. Go ahead. You had a really good question, my friend. Go ahead and ask.
I would like to know, in your opinion, what are the most important things to consider to be a good leader?
I would have to say that first and foremost, it starts with integrity. I mean, if you want to be a great leader, you've got to have the integrity that people trust you and they're going to look to you for your leadership of always doing the right thing and looking out for their best interests. You know, along with that, you've got to have a genuine interest in people. And what that means is not just walking by and saying hello, but truly being a resource for people. We have 321,000 people in our organization. My job is to make sure that everybody that manages that 321,000 people places those employees as our best priority. I mean, those are our biggest priorities. So you've got to have great integrity as a leader. You've got to really have a genuine interest in making sure that the employees are being well taken care of. And third, as a leader, you've got to continue to really be thinking forward and being a forward thinker and thinking, how can we improve things? How can we make, even when things are good, how do we make the business better? How do we improve the employees' environment that they're working in? Those type of things. So those are the three attributes that I think are the most important to a great leader.
Great, great advice. And you know, you're very steadfast. I like that. Very stern but fair, it seems. We have a question that emailed to me from Florida. A student wanted to know, Costco is known for its strong membership model. What strategies do you guys use to maintain customer loyalty?
You know, we're very fortunate that we have the highest renewal rate of any membership organization in the world. So we renew 93% of all of our members renew at all times. I believe that success and what I hear from the members, like you heard from Ralph, was that people trust the organization. They trust that we're going to do the right thing and we're going to take care of them. They continue to see us. You come into a Costco and you shop, you should never have a question, is the quality good? Is the value strong that's there? And then the big thing is people are treated like they're a member of a club. They're not a regular customer. They pay just to walk in the door. So we've got to make sure that we're treating them in every experience, be it in France or Taiwan or the US, every experience should be similar, that it's a guest of ours in our club, and they've got to be able to trust us as an organization. They've got to be treated well. And we've got to deliver the best quality merchandise we can at all times.
Solid answer. Did you practice that? That is impressive.
42 years, Ralph, you get pretty good at this stuff.
Apparently, geez. Alejandro, who's also in Spain, go ahead and ask. You had a very good question, buddy.
How difficult is running Coco?
He wanted to know how difficult is it doing your job? It can't be easy.
It is not, it's a lot of work. It really is. But it goes back to what I said earlier. I am very blessed that I have great people around me. You know, what we have 897 warehouses in 14 different regions. So we just had a call from Spain. This call is from Spain. We had a call from France, one from the US. So there's no way one person can be everywhere, right? I'm one person. I can't do that. My job is to make sure that I've got great people that know the culture of the company, understand that, and they're throughout the world. And that's where I'm very, very fortunate, is we've got great people around me. And any large organization does not come down to any one person. It is always the team that's there, and the team. My job is to make sure the team all stays focused on what is the priorities. But it is a tough job. But it's a job that I really enjoy because I work with great people.
Heck yeah, you dude. I like all the people at my local Costco. They're all nice. You know what's amazing is that you see on their Costco that they've been employed for like decades, and I never see that at any other store, which is absolutely phenomenal. We'll go with a few more student questions. This is Alejandro. Alejandro had a pretty good question, especially with everything that's going on with like, how do you deal with like the different prices from country to country and you know, keep up with that kind of stuff? Alejandro, you can unmute to ask. There might be some technical issues there, but Alejandro wanted to know, here, I'll pull this up. With the different prices in American products, how does that affect prices in Europe as far as like prices going up?
You know, anymore with the global trade things that are happening around the world adds a lot of complication to things. There has been always been duties and tariffs in many countries. Now you're hearing a lot more about the US entering into the tariffs and those type of things. It is quite complicated. What a buyer really has to focus on is where in the world can they buy the quality of goods that they need to. So there's specific things, like you take olive oil, for example. Europe is known for the olive oil that we buy so much of in Spain. So the buyers will work strategically on where they can source, what country they can source these goods from, and what are the duties and the appropriate tariffs that are there. Some things are fluid. You can move assembly of Christmas trees anywhere in the world. They could be done in Taiwan, they could be done in Japan, they could be done in China. But other commodities, such as avocados, are really conducive to Mexico. So most of the world's avocados come from Mexico. Should there be tariffs or duties coming out of Mexico, that makes it quite complicated because you just can't move that crop somewhere else. It's based on geography and based on the weather patterns and those type of things. So it is extremely complicated. When you become a global company, it is quite challenging. But when you do become global, it opens up the opportunity to buy goods from around the world. So we can have strawberries in the United States in the winter when they wouldn't grow here because we're buying those from South America. So it allows you to buy goods, more consistently throughout the year, but you've got to use sourcing abilities around the world.
Great. Well put. Because I was like, the kid messaged me, and I was like, I have no idea how that works. So from country to country. Maria, go ahead and ask your question. Maria, I believe is in Mexico. Maria, go ahead and unmute to ask.
I was wondering if you're thinking of opening more Costcos over the world?
Yes, we sure are. You're in Mexico. We just opened our last warehouse in a town called Torreon, Mexico, north of Mexico City. That opened up last October. We have planned for four more Costcos coming to Mexico, but I see us opening 25 warehouses this next year, and we normally operate about anywhere from 25 to 30 new Costcos a year. I see that continuing on for at least the next 10 years, that we'll see that growth in around the world. We'll see things around the world that are going to continue to open up.
And we're excited. We'll definitely keep an eye out for that. One of our students, they emailed me and they wanted to know how do you deal with other competition from other retailers? Like, you guys have been innovative. I'm sure you've seen a lot of innovations in your career at Costco. Like, how do you guys compete with others?
There's a saying in retail that competition is healthy, because it keeps you sharp, it keeps you on your game, and you've got to make sure that you're staying ahead of things. So we consistently get into our competition around the world. I'm heading to France on Monday, so I'll spend a few days in France, and I'll be in Sweden and Iceland. When we're in each one of these countries, I will spend some time with the local group in the competitors, and so we'll go and see what those competitors are doing in those markets, making sure that we're staying relevant and really listening to our members. But competition is good. It's good for the consumer. It ensures that people don't get too comfortable, and it makes sure that everybody continues to do their best to keep winning a customer over.
Amen. Well said. Lynn, go ahead and ask your question. Lynn, I'm not sure what country you're from, but go ahead and unmute. You had a good question.
Yes, so I would like to ask, how do you keep profits and customers constant?
I'm sorry, I lost a little bit about one,
She
Ralph.
wanted to know, how do you keep profits and customers just at a constant?
At Costco, it is about volume. It truly is. We had $249 billion in sales last year. So our job is to make a little bit of profit on every dollar. If you think about it, our profit percent is about 3.5%. So we make 3 cents on every dollar that we sell. Now, 3 cents doesn't seem like a whole lot, but when you put 3 cents up against $250 billion, it becomes really big. So that's our job, is that you keep prices down, and instead of charging $12 for something, if you can sell it for $10, you sell a lot more. You make a lot less on that item, but you sell five times as many of them as well. That keeps the customer happy because they're getting the best deal, and then we benefit from those pennies that we're making on every item that we sell. So Costco's model is always about not how much you can sell something for, how low can we sell it for? We want to sell it as low as we can with the intent of selling thousands of everything we sell.
Brilliant. I mean, you never really think of it like, going to Costco is just so massive. There's just so much stuff. And I always like go there, where I'm like, ah, let's just get oranges or something like that. And then I come out with this shopping cart filled with stuff like I didn't know I needed. So
That's what we call it, the items that you never knew you had to have, right?
exactly. Raphael in France, go ahead and unmute. You had a good question, buddy.
How do you select the products you offer to your customers?
How do you
How do
select? How do you select the products that you offer to your customers? What's the process of that?
we have buying groups. We have a group of individuals in every region around the world. So we've got buyers in China, we have buyers in Europe, we have buyers in the UK, and they meet with the suppliers, the manufacturers of these goods. They'll go through, and when they meet with them, they will do either a trial of the item, if it's an apparel item or a sporting goods, checking the safety, checking the authenticity, checking the quality of those things. If it's a food item, they will do the testing for food safety. They'll go through, there's a whole regiment that the buyers go through before any item comes into a Costco. And so once the buyers go through and they review all the attributes of this item, then they will make a decision. Is this something we feel is a great value and great quality for our members? So we have that whole group that is continuously working on sourcing items around the world. And then they purchase those items, they come into our distribution centers, and that's when it goes into the operations department that they put it in the warehouses that you see.
Great. We'll go with a few more student questions. We'll let you go in a couple minutes. One of the kids wanted to know, what trends do you foresee shaping the future of retail, and how is Costco preparing for that?
I think one of the biggest trends that you see, and especially with the younger generations, is digital and retail. I mean, there's expectations nowadays of things become much more quickly delivered, quickly available to people. You have much better visibility through digital means. And so that is something that we have got a group that's working on, is that how do we engage with customers digitally, as well as doing what you were speaking about? You walk in the warehouse and you get excited to see items, but how do we make Costco a digitally exciting place? And that's one of the areas that we've done okay in, but we've never really done really well. But I think that's going to continue to surface as an important need of the consumer, is that they're going to want to see online what items we have in the warehouse, what's going on in that warehouse, what if they can buy those goods online and have them delivered to them. So I think we're going to stay really focused on the things we do in the warehouse walls themselves, but we really have to enhance the digital engagement, because the younger generation and the generation of the future is going to want to digitally engage with big corporations.
Real quick, my son wanted me to ask you this question. What is your favorite item in the cafe?
It's the hot dog. I had one yesterday when I was in Oregon. 40 years I've lived on those hot dogs, and it's part of my everyday diet. So,
I called it too because I was like, he's a classic. He's got to go with
yeah.
my son said double chunk, the double chunk cookie, but I was like, no way, man. So I
No,
opened that one.
I'm a purist, that's for sure. That hot dog is me.
There you go. Okay. We have one of the kids want to know if you guys in Spain at least plan to open a section for people with celiac in the future for like gluten-free options.
We don't plan on having a section for that. We do make sure that all gluten-free items are clearly marked, because we know that that's a very important thing for people. It would be very confusing, because a lot of things naturally don't have gluten in them. So things that people wouldn't even think about is like, okay, what items go into this area and what items don't? So it would be confusing to have that. But our job is to make sure that on the item, it's very clearly marked that this is gluten-free and it is available to that person that has got celiac.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, we got a lot of kids putting their favorite items from the cafe in the chat. Chicken Caesar wrap. Okay, there you go. All right, Patricia, you had a great question. I was wondering this myself. Go ahead and unmute to ask.
Okay, my question is, what do you like most about your job?
My favorite part of my job is when I get to go out and visit all the warehouses. I spend probably 200 days a year traveling, be it in anyone, Canada, Mexico, Europe, Asia, or the US, getting out and seeing our employees and hearing from them. It is, having grown up working in the organization and doing so many things, you really have a great appreciation for all the work that those people are doing. And so when I get a chance to go to France and Sweden and Iceland next week, it is a real highlight when you get to go out and talk to the employees. I learn so much about the business by being out there in the field. I don't learn much here in my office. I learn a lot more being out talking to our employees and just knowing what they're dealing with.
That's great. That's great. You seem like a man of the people. And
Yep.
we had a kid, they wanted to know. I got this like seven times message to me. What is your favorite free sample? Are there any free samples that got you?
Yeah, you know what? I like proteins, and so whenever we do samples of our beef around the world, that's always my favorite one. If we'll do New York steaks or ribeye steaks or those type of things, the quality of our meat is always second to none. And I really enjoy when we do a protein, one of the protein category demos as well. I don't mind the candy and the ice cream either, but the proteins are my favorite.
Seems simple enough. All right, we'll go with two more student questions. I'm gonna let you go. Is that all right?
Sure, I'm good.
Guillermo, you had a good question. I was not aware of these social media fellas until you had brought that up, but go ahead and ask.
Do you know or are you associated with the famous Costco guys are going around in TikTok and Instagram, places like that?
We have a couple of our we have a social media. Costco does it again. And there's two different labels that we have as far as social media goes. There is hundreds of others that are self-driven by our members. So there's several of them that are very, very popular out there. And social media has amazingly grown to be a great avenue of letting members know what's going on in the warehouses out there. So it is, our folks do know some of the top ones that are out there. We do some social media for the corporation itself. But there is truly hundreds around the world that are done by our members themselves.
That's perfect. That's perfect. So before we let you go, Ron, I always ask this of all of our guests, before I end the meeting for all. Is there any advice that you can give to these kids as they go off into the world and kind of figure out what they would like to do with their lives?
It truly comes down to if you can spend your life doing something that you are proud of and you really feel good, irregardless of whatever level of if you're a CEO or you're an employee in whatever business that may be, if you have a passion for what you're doing and the company you're working with, I think that's the most important thing. Every one of us wants to take on some wants to take on a certain level of responsibilities, and others are content with what they're doing. But really, working for an organization or working in a part of the world that really makes you proud and makes you whole, that's success, in my opinion. Once you feel good about what you're doing, you can go home at night and feel like you've contributed. That's a win.
Ron, I can't thank you enough. We had one final student question. I'll let Hector ask this, and then we'll let you go. This is a quick one. Hector, go ahead.
What is the most buoyed product on Costco?
The most bought product from Costco.
The most bought product the first item is the membership card, really is the biggest item that people buy. But believe it or not, as far as something people walk out with, it is toilet paper is the number one item as far as number of units that go out all the time. That's our top item around the world.
That is absolutely brilliant. Well, Ron, we can't thank you enough for connecting with us. We really appreciate it. And we have a lot of good guests coming up next week, guys. We have a music producer. We have a guy from West Coast Customs talking about detailing cars. We have a neurologist, and we have a doctor talking about a non-alcoholic drink that she's trying to bring to market, talking about business. Before we go, I allow everyone to unmute, and can we all collectively say thank you to today's guest, Ron Vercrist from Costco, for taking time out of his day? Thank you so much, Ron. We appreciate
Thank you.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.